This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Even if your bank is doing just fine, what happened at Silicon Valley and Signature Banks could still affect your wallet. We'll explain how. I'm David Brancaccio. The current banking mess is likely to percolate out from banks directly affected and into many of our personal finances. It could make many banks pickier when deciding who gets loans, Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
At the risk of stating or even understating the obvious, the world of banking and finance is dynamic right now. That's a word Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate, is using a lot these days, along with volatile and uncertain. And he says that presents risks for consumers, namely,
that it's going to be increasingly challenging for some borrowers to get access to credit. And where they do get access to that credit, it's going to be potentially more expensive.
Because banks and other financial institutions are going to be looking for ways to manage their risk, partly by holding on to more of their money.
In an environment where the risks of a recession in the near term are seen to have risen,
people with good credit scores probably don't have too much to worry about.
The people who will be crowded out by that kind of tightening of credit standards are people with sort of more marginal credit scores and people who have had trouble with debt in the past, people with low or erratic incomes.
Josh Bivens, chief economist at the Economic Policy Institute, says this isn't happening yet, but
I think bank lending standards are going to get noticeably tighter in the next couple of weeks and months.
Unless this whole dynamic situation resolves quickly and banks and consumers feel more confident and stable again. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
The banking mess is seen by some as increasing the risk of recession in many countries, which would then use less oil. Crude oil has been falling and remains still below $70 a barrel this morning. It was $120 a barrel last June. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has that.
The bank crisis has scrambled expectations about how much oil the global economy needs right now. Energy expert Amy Myers Jaffe of NYU says going into this year, the thinking was there'd be plenty of demand. But now there are doubts
about whether the economy is going to be strong enough to support everybody's ideas about how much higher oil demand was going to be this year than last year.
Fernando Valle of Bloomberg Intelligence calls the banking sector's troubles a wake-up call.
It creates a fear of contagion and the impact that it could have on consumption and ultimately investments across the Western Hemisphere and then globally at a larger scale.
He says oil's current slump can also be traced in part to China, where demand was expected to rebound more than it has following the phase-out of lockdowns there. Meanwhile, Mark Finley of Rice University says analysts have been bracing for Russia to cut production in response to Western sanctions on Russian energy commodities, including oil.
But that hasn't been the case so far. You know, Russia's been able to find new markets for its oil.
Finley says for consumers, a $10 per barrel decline, like the one we saw last week, could translate into a drop in gas prices on the order of about 25 cents a gallon. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
After Silicon Valley Bank failed the other day, most pointed to possible mismanagement at the bank, lax government supervision, and rising interest rates as causes. But there are people arguing SVB's problem was that it paid some attention to ESG, environmental, social, governance risks. Julian Mark, business and technology reporter at The Washington Post, looked at this hypothesis. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been fact-checking this claim, separate from whether one likes or doesn't like ESG investing. The claim that ESG played an important part of Silicon Valley Bank's demise is the question. How do you answer that?
I mean, I don't think there's any evidence that this type of investing or diversity initiatives contributed to the demise of Silicon Valley Bank. It was more of a perfect storm of complex financial matters.
So where's this claim coming from? It's a talking point for people who see ESG as carrying out a liberal agenda versus, a business agenda, if one reads business agenda as necessarily conservative?
Yeah, I mean, ESG has become more or less a boogeyman among, you know, some conservatives who say that, you know, this investing, which includes environmental considerations, social considerations, and corporate governance considerations, you know, during investing, you know, is an interruption of free markets, you know, sort of injecting liberal ideals into investing. So there has been a lot of sort of undercurrents, and Silicon Valley Bank's fall kind of presented an opportunity to sort of create more or less a cautionary tale for what could happen to a bank that adopts these policies. Of course, not supported by evidence.
No, I suppose we should point out that thinking about investments with environmental, social, and governance issues in mind is not just for the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party. You have some stalwarts of Wall Street that have embraced this way of thinking because of the idea that in the longer run, considering ESG factors may end up paying off as an investment.
Correct. These are movers and shakers of the financial system, including BlackRock. They control trillions in assets. And ESG is really at its core, it's data, they're measurements, and it could be used many different ways. And it depends on how you want to use them. But some of these companies purely use them to assess risks, you know, upcoming risks to businesses and, you know, even to capture value. So there are many who say that this is purely just good investing, just a good way of measuring risk.
Julian Mark is business and technology reporter at The Washington Post. Mr. Mark, thanks.
Thank you.
And as you may have just heard, President Biden yesterday vetoed a push by Republicans to prevent pension funds from considering environmental, social, and governance risk factors when deciding which companies to include in a retirement portfolio. It's Biden's first veto, one Congress is unlikely to override. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.